kingdom of God to operate through you. He wants to stop you. He wants to stop you. He will attack your identity. The first thing the devil did with Jesus is he said this, if you are the Son of God. He attacked identity. The immediate, why he wants to attack identity? Because he wants to attack your authority. So if you know whose you are and who you are, you know the authority you have. For instance, if I know, if I go to the bank and I take my card and it's got my name on it and I go to the bank and put some money, if it's got money in there, and I have to put my card in there, I expect money to come out. I expect it. If I turn the light switch on, I expect it to work. There's an authority that you have because you know that you know that you know. It is yours. And this authority, I believe the devil's been robbing the church from, or people from, because they don't really know, and they're begging, like the prophetic this morning, they're begging God for something that they already have. You have the authority. You have the power. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So therefore what happens is we come into a warfare. And I know the church doesn't like talking about warfare, but you better believe that your walk is a walk of warfare. There'll be seasons of rest. There'll be seasons of recuperation. There'll be seasons of enjoyment, but there'll be seasons of war. Amen. You will have your summer. You will have your spring, but I guarantee you with summer and spring, you'll have your autumn and you'll have your winter. Amen. But what has to happen there in the winter time, we have to establish our root system in the things of God, because on the outside, nothing's happening. But underneath, something's been established. Never, ever. God actually gave me a saying the other day, and I told my wife, he said, my people think a step backwards is a step of defeat. A step backwards is just another perspective of how to move forward. Never see defeat. All you're having is a different perspective of how to do something different again. Amen? So never let the devil rob you. Never let the devil manipulate you into such a position that you don't think God's operating on your behalf. Even in the quiet times, he's operating. Even in the quiet season, he's doing. Amen? And when you can't feel it, he's covering. And when you don't know he's there, he's still there. Amen? He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Glory to God. So sometimes through the lack of conviction and word residing in my life, I stop getting direction, or I don't hear the direction, or I don't see the direction he wants me to be. And that's why I really believe God's really hammering this in our spirit. We must be students of the word. Please, please don't rely on someone else to bring the word. Oh, Pastor, can you come to my house and just pray for us? Because we just don't know. No, no, no. Unless you pray for yourself, it's a waste of me time. You're the best prayer for you can be. Why do you want someone second when you're the best? Pray for yourself. If you're sick, lay hands on yourself. Anoint yourself with oil. Amen? When you're cheering up, pat yourself on the back and say, I'm doing a good job. Because if you're waiting for someone else to do it, you could wait a lifetime. I'm serious. You could wait a lifetime. Don't wait for someone else. Pat yourself on the back. Say, doing a good job here. God, this is me and you. Hallelujah. David started. I want to talk about King David. David started well. Did he start well? He started very well. He started very well. But I believe he never really understood what the anointing was for. He received the anointing. But do you understand the cost of kingship? No. No, 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 no. I think he would have been very happy just staying with the sheep, singing, playing his harp and singing songs to God. Writing another psalm, writing another hit song. Just getting revelation from God. Then this old bloke comes along and says, is there another one? And he calls David in, gets the horn, pours oil on him, and says, you're going to be king. Guess what David did? Went back to the sheep. He went back to the sheep. Oh yeah, that sounds nice. But all of a sudden, when the situation arose, hello Goliath, when the situation arose, something got stirred in his spirit. Something moved him. No other man got moved like he got moved. The king was in his tent. looking for someone to do his job. But something got stirred within him, and his brothers got really indignant with him and started mouthing off at him and saying, "You little upstart, you come down here. I know what you're wanting to do. You want to see what's happening in the battle. Get back to the sheep." And he said something that absolutely blew their mind. He said these little words, "Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? Can't you see what's happening? How dare," and little 17-year-old upstart, "how dare you defile the army of the living God, you dog?" He's talking about a 9-foot-2 bloke. "You dog! How dare you defy?" Something arose because immediately when he realized this man was against his God and against what the kingdom stood for, something rose within him. Something got stirred. May I say this, church? Something should get stirred when someone starts speaking, defiling the name of Jesus. When someone speaks against my God and against the church, something should be stirred. Something within me should be stirred. He goes out there, chops off his head. The head speaks of what? Authority. Write that down. He cut off the authority. Do you know you have to slay the enemy that's before you? You got to take his what? Authority. Because you have greater authority. No thing should be usurping authority over me and my house, except one thing alone, which is the Spirit of God. Any other influence must be subject to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David was caught in betwixt. He was in a place where he was loving on his God. He's got the head. Now Saul wants to... Who's this little upstart? I mean, he's just saved the whole nation, but Saul just, you know, he's still king. He's still king. And he says, "Who's this man?" "Oh, I don't know who he is, but thank God he's here, because none of us would have went out there." And he cheered them on. And then he called David to his house. And it said, "The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and rested on David." Yeah. Here we have a king by name, but no authority. No anointing. Yeah. All the garments, the crown, the status, but no power. David had the crown given to him. And for the rest of his days, he was fleeing from the man that was trying to kill him. This man, something would rise up in Saul and he would throw spears at David. Twice he threw spears at David and David missed them. David fled. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12 says, David was fleeing from Saul the king because Saul had lost the anointing and envied the anointing of David's life. May I say this? When people lack in the word, when people aren't reading their word, and they're lacking in the anointing, they will want to draw from the anointing around other people. They'll not want to go to the source. They'll want to go to your cup. But my Bible says, if you're thirsty, come unto me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you. There's always an assignment against the anointing of God. Always. Don't ever be surprised if you're pushing into the things of the kingdom of God, there's an assignment against you. There is. He wants you ineffective in the kingdom. He wants you to be ineffective in your workplace. He wants you to be ineffective in your lifestyle. He wants you to be ineffective. But if you know whose you are, hallelujah, you'll take back the authority. He wants us to rend our mouths so we speak and complain about the problem instead of praising him for the solution. Amen. 1 Samuel 20 verse 3 says, "Then David took an oath." David took an oath again. "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes." And he said, "Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Now that's pretty close. That he's in a tight situation. A step between me and death. And all of a sudden you see David run to a place he shouldn't have ran. Anointed, a psalmist. In fact, the Bible says it calls him a prophet. And all of a sudden he was found in a place he shouldn't have been found. Because sometimes, you know, when the pressure gets on, has anyone ever been under pressure? Sometimes when pressure gets around our spirit man, we run to the familiar. We run to what we know. Because we're scared of the unknown. Just in case, we run to plan B and C instead of running to plan A, which is Christ. David was in a place where he started to run. This Goliath slayer was 1 minute slaying Goliath, the next time he was withdrawing in frustration, confusion, and anger. I'm one step away from death. I've got to get out of this situation. This man's not stopping chasing me. You don't know how quick them spears came to my head. What have I done? I play my harp to him. I love on him. I honor him. I do everything I think I should be doing. Everything what I think I should be operating in, yet things aren't happening the way I expect. Anyone been there? David flees. 1 Samuel 21:10-14. I want to tell you something this morning. I really believe God's going to cause breakthrough. He's going to cause breakthrough. Because I don't care what the enemy's trying to do. Your God will confuse the ranks of your enemy and bring you forth. 1 Samuel 21:10-14 says, then David arose and fled that day before Saul and went to Achish. Achish literally means anger. Went to Achish, the king of Gath, which is wine press. He's in a place of being pressed, and also something has been stirred within him. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did not they sing to him? To one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Now David took these words to what? When we take someone's words to heart, it can change me. David was fearfully afraid, it says very afraid, because he realized they didn't see him under Saul, they saw him more powerful than Saul. And they wanted to kill him. He ran to somewhere that he shouldn't have ran. He went back into the world, the world system, and the world's ways, thinking that they can help him. But they started saying things, and it made him very afraid. And when you allow the words of another person to get into your spirit, I'm telling you now, fear can dominate your spirit. Fear can get around your heart. And you stop being what you're supposed to be. And you stop acting the way you're supposed to act. And you stop doing the things you're supposed to do. Because all of a sudden, you're in a place of vulnerability. Anyone ever been there? You're in a place of vulnerability now. So David, it says David changed himself to become a man that foamed at the mouth. He changed his whole disposition. It says he changed his behavior before them. You know when you allow words to get into your heart, sometimes it'll change your behavior. Changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched at the doors of the gates, let saliva fall down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see this man's insane. Why have you brought him here? David didn't know what to do. He thought, I've got to escape Saul. But he went from the frying pan into the fire. Because he presumed and he thought he'd be in a safe place. There's only one safe place, Jesus Christ. Taking people's words to heart can cause fear and intimidation and cause us to speak and act in ways that are contrary to our character. That's what the power of fear can do. David gets to a cave called Adullam. He escapes from there. He gets out with his life. Yet in all this process, you never see him once seek God. I'm talking about David, who has a heart after God. I'm talking about David, who wrote the Psalms. I'm talking about David, who sung melodies and killed his lion and killed his bear and took the head of Goliath. I'm talking about David that was under pressure, so much pressure, he didn't know what to do. And then in this situation, he didn't even say that he sought God. Because sometimes pressure can do that to us, bring so much confusion to our minds. Our minds are between and betwixt two places. And it can happen to the best of us. David therefore departed there and escaped to the cave called Adullam. Adullam. It means justice and revenge. He wanted a piece of someone. He's starting to get an attitude. He thought, you know what? Enough's enough. He stopped running to what he thought and ran back to where he knew he could find and communicate back to God. Well, the place of the cave of Adullam was in a place called Judah, which means praise of God. He knew he had to get back to the place where he hears God. There's some of you here this morning have to get back to the place where you hear God. His family come and they connect with him. David then all of a sudden realizes those who had discontented spirits, spirits of distress, that means a place of narrow thinking, lack of faith. Those in debt gathered to him and caused him to run to his enemy Moab, then run to God. He went to King Moab. I want to tell you a little bit about Moab. Moab is a product of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. In fact, it says in Deuteronomy, I think, chapter 23, that no Moabite will ever inherit any place in God's assembly forever. And he ran to the Moab king, thinking he'd find refuge. And he took his mum and his dad down there, thinking he'd find refuge for them. But he didn't find refuge. Give me the next slide, son. It says he was brought before them, before the king of Moab, and he dwelt with him all the time David was in the stronghold. That's what the Bible says. David was in a stronghold. You see, when you allow the world and this world's systems to get around your spirit, man, you're developing a stronghold around your own life. When you think you can come to the house of God and worship the house in the house of God, then all of a sudden act like they act and do like they do and run to their systems and run to their ways, you're actually developing your own stronghold. Verse 22 says that. He was in a stronghold. Then if God had to send a prophet, how did this man know where David was? I mean, he's in a low place. He's in a low place. How did that man Gad, the prophet, know where David was? Now it says that he says, I'm still waiting to seek the Lord to know what to do. He didn't find the word. The word found him. I'm going to say that again. I don't care how low sometimes we go and that we're not hearing or we're not in a position to hear the word. God will make his word find you. And Gad, the prophet, went down, it says, and found David and said this, depart, do not stay in the stronghold, depart. And go to the land of what? The land of what?
Judah.
The land of praise. Get back to the place of praise. Stop getting into a place of a rut. Stop acting and doing what you think you should do. Stop running hither and thither for protection. Come to me. Get back to the place of praise so I can connect again with you and commune with you so I can direct your paths. God sent the word to him because he couldn't find the word. And may I say this? None of us could find the word. The word found us. I want to say that again. None of us found the word. The word found us. That's why we're sitting here today. He found me. He got up. Say, get up. I want to tell you this morning, I have a word of the Lord for you. I believe I have a word to deliver to you that will see your strongholds broken, that will get back into your right mindset so you can walk out of what you're in and you can let go of what's been touching you and you can get another level of the anointing in your life to move into what God has called you for. I really believe this word this morning will bring deliverance to your soul. Amen. No more torments. No more pulling down. No more misdirection. But God will lead you by his word. Amen. You might be in that place, but God's going to bring you out of that place. God's going to deliver you out of that place. I really believe that God wants to put a word in your mouth, and that word is, turn with me. Next slide, son. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Every born-again believer needs to hear this word. This is your word. This is your word of deliverance. This is your word. Amen. This is the word that will break your stronghold. This is your word. You don't have to wait for another meeting. You don't have to wait for someone to lay hands on you. This is the word of the Lord that will give you the strength to depart from where you're at and move into what God has for your life. Amen. Behold, I give you the what?
Authority.
Behold, I give you what?
Authority.
The authority. Exousia. To trample on the serpents and scorpions. We spoke about this before. And over all the what?
Power.
No matter how much power the enemy has got, you have more power. You have more authority. No matter how much power he exerts, no matter how much power he distributes, no matter how much power he shows off, you have the authority. And if you've got the authority, that power has to bow its knee. Authority rules and reigns over the power. I don't care how strong he is. He's got to bow his knee to the name of
Jesus.
I don't care how much he's done in the world and people's lives. By the blood of Jesus, they can be set free. All authority in the blood. All authority in his name. All authority in his word. You have the authority. He's given it to you. He honored you. When he died, he took the keys of hell and took the position where the devil had over this world, and it's his authority, and he broke its power, and he took the keys of darkness, and he captivated darkness, and he gave the power and the authority to the born-again believer again to establish the kingdom afresh. You have the authority. So when there's an attack in your house, you have to stand up and there has to be a roar in your spirit. A different, I don't know about, maybe we have to get, we might have to get the mighty men and women to come and pray in my house. Shoulda, bada, bada. Get a grip. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The least in the kingdom of darkness is greater than he that is born of a woman. You have the authority by the power of the name of Jesus. You've got to speak to your mountains. You've got to speak to that devil. You've got to speak to that situation. That word is exousia, literally means the power and the capacity to speak forth to the situation. But you've got to speak. You've got to speak. Enough of this bar in the corner. It's time to be a sheep sometimes. But you have to start having a bit of a roar in your gut and saying, I'm taking back what the devil has stolen back off me. I'm going to take back what he has stolen from me by the power of deception and lies and lust and whatever it is, pride, I'm going to take back. I'm going to establish in my house an order of the kingdom of God. So when you teach your children to pray, teach them to pray with what? Authority. Not this begging. Oh God, please, pretty boy, Lord, I beg you again. I come before you again. This is my 29th year, Jesus. I'm still waiting at my pool at Bethesda. But no one's here to put me in. But you know all things, Jesus. But I'll wait another year. That man waited 30 years. 38 years. Well done, that good and faithful servant. 38 years. Can you imagine sitting on the edge of a pool for 38 years? Hey? And all of a sudden you're not a flyer. Oh, someone's jumped in. Well, we just got to wait another year. Just another year. Well, you know what it's like. Maybe it wasn't my turn. Maybe they needed it more than me. Dear Lord Jesus, get a life. If I'm waiting for God to stir the waters, I want to be in first. Amen? I want what he's got. I want everything he's got for my life. I don't want 30%. I don't want the 60%. I'm a 100-fold Christian. I want everything. I'm greedy. I'm greedy for the things of God. Amen. If you leave something on the plate, I'll eat yours too. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, we've got to pursue him. We've got to have everything he has for us. Amen. I'll give you authority over the enemy and nothing by any means. Well, what? John 1:12, by as many as received him, he gave them the what? The right, or the old King James says power, exousia. Exousia, not dunamis, exousia. The authority. The authority. The authority. Because the devil comes with many lying signs and dunamis. But he hasn't got the what? He hasn't got the exousia. Exousia to become children of God to those who believe in his name. What's the key?
Believe.
To believe in what?
His name.
The name. To believe in his name. To speak the name. To decree the name. To cover it with the blood. I know I'm preaching to the converted. But I am shocked how many Christians allow stuff to roll through their life without putting up a fight. Come on now. Power or authority is exousia. Exousia is higher rank than dunamis. Dunamis is what gives the power. Sorry, exousia is what gives the power to dunamis. I want to say this morning, the word of the Lord to you is, you have the authority. You have the authority. Exousia, intangible positional power through command. Life and death in the power of my... You've got to command it. You've got to speak to it. You've got to decree it. And you're not moved by what you see. The confidence is not what you see. The confidence is in you. Who lies within you. Who resides within you. Who you are in Christ. We have the strength, the power, the right given by the Lord to break the strongholds and not stay there. I don't have to stay where I'm at. Come on now. I don't have to stay where I'm at. Too many of us start to live comfortably around our problems. I need breakthrough. God has more for you than we could even ask, think, or imagine. Far much more. And it's all residing within you. If you're born again here this morning. That's the condition. If you're not born again, you have no authority. But if you're born again, that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is with
within us.
The kingdom of God, the authority of the kingdom resides within every born-again believer. He just wants to open my mouth and fight the good fight of faith. I want to encourage men. God's really pushing me. Men, get a hunger for your word. What am I speaking out in my house? What are my kids hearing? Speak. Let them see you take authority. Let them hear you speak authority. And when you need to be the lamb, let them see the lamb. Amen. He's the lion and the lamb. It's time to be the lion and it's time to be a lamb. He doesn't want me to be a lion all the time. Bark and shout and scream and everything. Don't get so religious, you're no earthly good. But he doesn't want me to be a lamb all the time either. Well, everything's all right. Ba, 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 ba. Scratch, 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 scratch. Roll on your tummy. No, 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 he doesn't want that all the time. You need to know your situation. And you need to know the fight you're in. Let's stand this morning. There's an anointing in the house to break strongholds and yokes, chains. I don't have to live with what I'm living with. Now, notice Gad said to him, "You get up and get out." That's what the word says. Prophet Gad, the word of the Lord, "You get up and you get out." New Testament. The angel comes to Peter, kicks him in the side. "Get up." He didn't pick him up. He told him to get up. Because no matter how much situation is, there's a reserve in you from the Spirit of God that can get you up. He'll give you strength to your weak feet and your weak ankles. He'll cause you to stand when you don't think you can stand. And if you do your part, he'll open the door. He'll open the door. And you will walk through supernaturally the prison door. And when you get to your iron gate, it will roll up all by itself. And then you look back and say, "Goodness me, look at what the Lord has done." And then you'll go and tell people, and they're still praying for you. "Oh, deliver him. Oh, Jesus, deliver him. Oh, Jesus, deliver him." Peter knocks on the door, and they didn't believe him. "No, must be his angel." He's thinking, "My goodness me, you're praying and you don't believe." What were they praying for? Release. For his release. He got released and they didn't believe it. So what were they really praying for? He got released, they didn't believe it. Must be his angel. You're mistaken, woman. Oh, attitude, man. Hey, God had to smack them about a bit. Then Peter walks in the house. He had to walk in because they wouldn't come out. Hallelujah. I'm telling you now, the demonstration of the power and the authority of God in your life will birth things in others to dare believe their God. Will birth things in others to dare believe their God. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you a testimony. Me and my wife are going around Australia. Two young babies in a camper van. Big sign on the side, "You must be born again." Telling everyone about Jesus. Religious zealots we were. Gets to a place in Carnarvon. By this time, I've been starving for 8 days on a forced fast. I didn't ask for it. I didn't. Hungry, walking 10 kilometres a day. 7 days. Oh, 7 days. Allow me a bit of leeway, love. 7 days. Walking 10 kilometres there and 10 kilometres back to the post office, believing God. Now, there's no mobile phones. Telegrams, yes. Mail, yes. No mobile phones. No one knew where we were. I used to say to this man, I says, it's called the dead letter office. Any mail for me? By this time, I'm a skeleton. I'm losing weight dramatically. I was dying. I was so hungry. The truth will make me free. He says, there's no mail. I says, can you look? I'm not looking. You come here every day. I says, I know. Why don't you just go and get lost? It's a nice public servant, isn't it? Next morning, I walked up the post office. Is there any mail for me? So I'm not looking. I said, I'm telling you now, you better look. Something rose up within me. You better look now. Oh, all right. He goes, oh, there's a letter here for you. I says, is your name Dave Walsh? He says, yeah, letter here for you. Nothing in the letter, but one little thing, a check. No name, nowhere from, just a check. No one knew where we were. No one could hear from us because we had no money. Couldn't ring anyone. But Jesus knew where I was. There was this check. And I bought a chalk milk immediately. I cashed the check at the post office. I did that to rub his nose in it. But I was where David was, you know. I wanted revenge. And I cashed the check. And I'm walking home. 10 kilometres. I bought one, but I kept another one just in case I thought I'd get thirsty. So two. And I'm drinking my chalk milk.
I've got mine.
You, anyway. I told you I was in a position of David. It was all about me. And I'm a David. And I'm drinking my chalk milk. Thanking Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Vomiting a little bit because I drank it too quick. Because I hadn't had anything for a week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open the next one up. Thank you, Jesus. Matilda comes up into the city. And there's a man there, an Aboriginal man, and he's drunk. I said, Matilda, don't waste your time. She ministers to him and witnesses to him. She leads him to the Lord. She goes, he got gloriously saved. I says, he didn't hear a thing you said. That's what I said. Yeah. Two years later, we're back in Carnarvon. We're walking down the street. This man from the other side of the street comes running towards us. So me being the brave man I am, I pushed my wife behind me. Says, get behind me, love, this guy's going to have a go. And I'm ready for him. Ready. Shaking in my boots, really. And he runs past me, goes behind me. He says, do you remember me? And I said, no, being the man. No. He says, I remember her. He says, 2 years ago, she told me about Jesus. I was drunk on this table here, this chair, outside the post office. She told me about Jesus. He delivered me from alcohol. And now I'm an evangelist to my own people. He became a pastor, that's right. Became a pastor to his own people. Seeing people saved and delivered. Set free. See, it doesn't matter what state a person's in. You have the authority. You have the authority. And God knows where you're at. He knew my hunger. I mean, I cried every morning to him.
But God saved 1 week.
He did. He knew my pain. I was starving. And I couldn't find the word. In fact, I thought I was a bit indignant with God. You said you're my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I'm still waiting. We had some really decent talks, me and God, on that road. And all of a sudden, chalk milk set me free. No, Jesus set me free. And you know, I'll be really honest, from that day forward, I've never ever had to worry about money. No, I didn't worry about the money. I worried I got ripped off. Because you understand what I'm saying? God will take you through things. And through even David found another level of worship. David found another level of connection with his God. David plugged into God like never before. And he just didn't get anointed once. He got anointed three times. He didn't just become the king of Judah. He became the king of Israel. He became the prophet, the priest, and the king. Amen? And he wants every one of us to be at that place. Prophet, what are you prophesying over your house? What are you prophesying over your kids? What are you prophesying over your wife? What are you prophesying over your husband? Priest, do they find you on your knees? The kids walk in and see you on your knees, worshiping your God. King, taking your place that nothing touches my house. Nothing. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. There's an anointing in the house. He wants to break strongholds. Do you know what a stronghold is? It's a mindset. It's a mindset. He wants to break mindsets. Mindsets. He wants to shake the foundations of those mindsets so you walk away from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the word speaking to you this morning? If you're stuck, and you're hungry for more, lift up your hands before him. Hallelujah. He knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. And I'm believing God for a visitation for every one of you. Hallelujah. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We want more of you. Lord, help us to run to you. Help us to seek you. Help us to sing a song to you. Lord, don't allow us to clog our minds with the voices of discontentment, anger, frustrations. But God, bring us to a place where we separate ourselves to you. That I might be the prophet, priest, and king in my home. That I might lead my house well. That, Father, my testimony will decree the goodness of my God. That your kingdom might come through me. Hallelujah. Father, I lay down every weight. I rise up from every circumstance because you give me the authority to do. I take up your name afresh. I take up the authority afresh this morning. And I say, God, I choose today for me and my house to serve the Lord. Therefore, God, I put aside my ways, my plans, my purposes, and I pick up yours. Make me a better man. Make me a better person. That we might reflect the Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank you for that. That God, no matter how far away I seem, you're there. And you love me. We receive your grace this morning. in Jesus' holy name. And we thank you for the change that's about to happen. We thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough that we've received. And we thank you, Lord, we're coming into another place and level of praise in our life.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
And if that's you this morning, shout amen.
Amen.